I'm the Dean, and this is the Dean Show. I am superior to you, and you suck. I am the Dean. I am better than you. You are listening to my show because I am so awesome. La 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 la. Awesome, awesome. La 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 la. I am the Dean. You are not. You will listen, or I will smite you.
Okay, good evening, buenos noches, y welcome to this week's episode of The Dean Show. It is our 29th episode. Next week is, of course, our 30th episode, celebration for the 30th episode anniversary. Don't miss it. But this week, we do have an awesome show for you planned tonight. It will feature all of your usual stuff: the wrestling review, Mussolini Corner in its dying days, the Nile of the Week, the Smiting List, the Dean Shonery, the Dean Sings, and mucho more. Don't miss it. So, let's get straight underway with the first thing on this week's show, which is, of course, time to introduce my brand new co-host on the show and new manservant, Fox Mick Foxerson. Okay, let's see if this sounds any better. I'm thinking the quality wasn't terribly good in the opening minute. Well, who knows? Maybe my volumes are up too high on my headset, Jess. Maybe it sounds good to you. Maybe it doesn't. Who cares? What are your thoughts, Fox McFoxerson? Indeed, I concur mutually. Up next, it's the quiz. Very, very special announcement relating to this week's quiz. Usually, if you answer the quiz question correctly, you win yourself a free no prize. This week, we do have for you an actual prize, and this cannot be won by me, a past, present, or future manservant, or our producer, Logic Honor. This must go out to one of the listeners. It is courtesy of Aerial Publicity and the Kelly Ritchie Band. We do have Kelly Ritchie, Carry the Light CD, entirely for this contest. I have the CD. It is, you got your CD in its case with a lyrics book, you get an additional leaflet telling you about the band, and you get two relatively large stickers free with it, all in a bundle, and all you've got to do is answer this question correctly. Name three bands whose songs we have closed with on The Dean Show. If there are multiple winners, I will look at who picks the most obscure bands, you know, the less obvious ones. And you could get yourself this brand new awesome CD for free. Obviously, if you win, then we'll contact you to sort out shipping it out to you. Okay, so one of the listeners must win. What are your thoughts on this one, Fox McFoxerson? Yeah, you would love to win it, but you can't. Kelly Ritchie's Carry the Light. I was trying to get an interview with them on the show, not sure how that's going to work. That may not happen, but we'll see. All you've got to do to enter is send your correct answers to ThaddeusPenguin@hotmail.com or leave a comment on episode 29's post on thedeanshow.blogspot.com and you could win your thing there, and if no one wins, it will carry over for as many weeks as necessary until someone picks up the prize. Okay, with that said and done, Fox McFoxerson, go make the tea whilst I review the Raw!
Raw! Raw, wow! Raw, wow! Wow! Raw! Monday Night Raw!
Okay, that's your theme tune. This is your review. Raw. This week, Raw did not record. but we got the replay recorded, and now I'm going to review it. I just watched it today. This being Friday, I've also just watched ECW today. So, the American Dream, Dusty the Rhodes, is your host, and he books Cody versus Orton for the world title with him in Cody's corner, and Cena as the ref. Cody accepts, Orton is not happy, Dusty equals still awesome on the mic. Now, Jericho versus MVP in your first match of the night. Jericho encounters a facebuster into the walls of Jericho, which is soon escaped. MVP misses his corner boot, and Jericho hits a springboard dropkick, knocking MVP to the outside. Back in the ring, Playmaker reversed, walls of Jericho countered into a pin, which is escaped, and a codebreaker allows Jericho to pick up the win. Hornswoggle versus Chavo again. I'm really getting tired of this. This time Swoggle is a cowboy, Chavo is a cow. They're tied together by rope. Chavo must now put a cow head mask thing on. Holy cow from trapdoor? No. Swoggle, unfortunately not. Swoggle then rides on Chavo. Chavo pulls off the head and starts beating up Swoggle, but Evan Bourne out for the distract. Chavo's in the top rope. Swoggle, they're tied together with a rope on their arms, so Swoggle pulls the rope and throws Chavo off. Then he puts the cow head on him backwards and then ties him up with rope and randomly wins. Una perdida de mi tiempo. And now I skip Big Show versus Mark Henry because it's clearly boring and I know that it will be horrible and arg, and I also skipped this week's two Diva matches. Now, United States title match, four-way, Swagger, Psy, Miz, Meh, Carlito, okay, Kofi, whatever. Lito goes under Kofi, is thrown over the ropes by Swagger and lands onto Miz. Kofi leaps over the ropes onto all three men. You can take me to your bedroom, you can take me to your heart, you can take me to the climax, I won't fall apart, but don't count on me giving it back to you. Just because I'm hooked on living doesn't mean I'm hooked on you. Some AC/DC lyrics there from the original Australian High Voltage. More on that later, kids, if I remember. Miz tries to stay on the outside for most of the match, heel tactics. Kofi hits a double leg drop on Miz and Swagger. Miz hits the stroke with Nelson. I'm going to call it stroke with Nelson. Carlito hits a backcracker. Kofi hits the Trouble in Paradise, picks up the win, and retains the US strap. No comment. I really don't care much. Then some dude, old man, Bob Barker, will be next week's host. Never heard of him. Main event, Orton and Cody. I really like the Legacy music's intro. I was really, really, really wanting that Cody would win this title here, but the match actually never happened. Dusty Rhodes said it was a trick. The whole thing was a plot to get Cena in the ring with Legacy, and DiBiase comes out, and the four of them, along with Dusty, they all beat up Cena. DX out for the save, Dusty hits Triple H with a boot. Lol, yeah. I enjoyed the swerve and heel Dusty. Then Orton RKOs Dusty Rhodes. Cody is not happy. Why didn't he just take the damn title shot? Senseless makes none. But after the match, to close the show, for the first time ever, Cody, Cody, Cody chants occurred. That's your Raw, things, stuff, and the like, and like that. Okay, now I think the only thing we can do next is have a message from our brand new sponsor for the Dean Show. Here we go, our sponsor. I'll hit the ad myself because Fox McFoxerson is still making the tea.
Sand porn. As Andy as a sandy thing.
And that was a message from our new sponsor, Sand Porn. Where there is a fire at one end and a fool at the other. Okay, I received emails there in relation to getting Kelly Ritchie on the show, looking like it might be possible. It might be possible. This week or next. So, what we also have then is I'm going to talk about some stuff. First of all, yesterday, on a newspaper, I saw a story. It's like, someone believes Princess Diana may have been murdered. Or something of this effect. Wait, what? Didn't this woman die like 12 years ago? How sad and uninteresting must the news in the United Kingdom be if we still have Princess Diana on the front page as our headline news 12 years later? So, oh, wait! Hey, Princess Diana, dead. Really? Wow! I haven't been reading that for the last 12 years! Or 11, or whatever it is. I don't even count. But you know what I'm getting at. I mean... This is ridiculous. Forget about her. Get her off my newspaper. Not that I read them anyway, but that's not the point. I am the Dean, the almighty, epic, all-powerful Master of Divinity, the Dean. And one thing I want is some tea. Fox McFoxerson is taking his time. So, I'm gonna have to fill until I get my tea. So you're like a bandicoot, you're like on an island, you're like a pinstripe potteroo, and ripperoo, and things like that. Now then, oh, there you go, Fox McFoxerson. Thank you for my tea, I shall sip it now. Semi-tolerable tea, that Fox McFoxerson or something. What did I call you, Fox McGrew? Ugh. So many co-hosts that my head explode. More co-hosts than you can shake a stick at. Okay. So that's your Princess Diana news. Evidently, she is still dead. I care none. Now then. I want to talk about an album I've been got recently. It's the AC/DC 1975 album, High Voltage Australian Only Edition, which was only, as I said, obviously only made in Australia, and it does not seem to be available anymore. So I just downloaded the songs from it and put together a CD. Now, what I will say is, I don't have it at the moment to look at it. It's been lent to Niall. This could be a disaster, but for now, we're fine. Lent it to Niall. Songs on there, obviously, we've got a cover of the Big Joe Williams song, Baby Please Don't Go, the video for which Bon dresses up like a schoolgirl and hits Angus with a mallet. It's quite famous, actually. And then we've got Little Lover and She's Got Balls, whatever. Then we've got Stick Around, which nothing really happens in Stick Around. I don't remember the order. I don't know if I'm getting this right or not, but we've got You Ain't Got a Hold on Me. That is actually a really nice song. I really like that one. There were some lyrics from it in the Raw Review. And then we've got, let's see, Soul Stripper. Now, so maybe during the Dave Evans days, he wrote Soul Stripper. And he also covered Baby Please Don't Go as well. Those two he did. And then Soul Stripper is pretty good. The next one is Love Song. Now, Evans had a version of it called Feel the Love or something like that, I think. And he had a version of Soul Stripper called Sunset Strip. Actually, that's what his version of Soul Stripper was called, that, I think. Maybe it was. Maybe that's a different... I forget. Anyway... So there's that. And Love Song is interesting. You listen to Love Song, it sounds nothing like AC/DC. The intro is one of the most epic song intros I've ever heard. I'm still not sure whether there are keyboards in there or whether they're somehow making that sound with guitars, because I've been reading up in different places and they're both giving me different answers. It does sound like keyboards, though. But it's a pretty darn good intro. There are two stages to the intro. It is incredibly epic, and then it breaks into a ballad, possibly AC/DC's only ballad. There is also Ride On, I suppose, but this is this one, Bon Scott is singing a love song, and it is the least likely to be AC/DC song ever. I think there might even be some acoustic guitar. It's just very, very strange for an AC/DC song. You wouldn't expect it or believe it. I highly recommend that. And then the last song is the epic Shoe Business. amazing song, during which Angus is on rhythm, and he does a really good job on the rhythm. And, of course, Malcolm is doing the solo. Now, I think he did some of the solos in Soul Stripper, but True Business is all his. He does the solo, Bond dressed up in the little hat, little red and white striped hat and suit with a, you know, but, in the video, but very, very epic. Great song. Malcolm did lots of solos in it. They were all awesome. Angus's rhythms were awesome. The lyrics were awesome. Just brilliant. The drum intro is amazing. Well, it is really, really good. I really like it. Tony Corrente was on drums for that. And George Young was on bass, I think, or possibly Rob Bailey. It's really good. Now, the interesting thing about the video is, even though Malcolm is doing the solo, he stands in the background while Angus runs around stage doing his regular antics. Malcolm does step forward to do his solos, and he just sort of sways slightly. You know, that's as active as he gets on stage. I think he's a bit shy, actually. How can you be shy after 36 years with AC/DC? I don't know. But he, performing all around the world. But he does come forward a little bit. Now, the one problem was the people working the cameras, or the switcher, or who, I think it may have been a live video, actually. Whoever was controlling which camera was picking up on screen, what was being shown. Horrible! They threw Angus the whole time, which is fine, that's what they always do. You know, Angus is God, but so is Malcolm. Malcolm is God too, if we can have two gods. I don't see why not. Malcolm, they don't show Malcolm even when he's doing the solos. They pretend that Angus is doing the solos. There are two spots where you can see Malcolm doing it. One is where they're zooming in on Angus, and you can just see the tip of Malcolm's guitar sort of, and a little bit, it sort of comes up on the camera, and you can see his fingers moving. And then they cut right away, straight back to Angus. It lasts about 2 seconds. The second is a bit more substantial. It's where Malcolm steps forward. He's doing a solo, and Angus runs over to him, and he's like, yeah, you know, encouraging Malcolm's solo. And you can see for a few seconds there, Malcolm is playing the solo. But as soon as Angus turns to leave and steps away from Malcolm, the camera cuts straight back to him and away from Malcolm again. They actually, if you watch it, they deliberately avoid showing Malcolm throughout 90% of the song. It's ridiculous. Now then. But there is that, and it is an awesome song. The interesting thing is that you'd think if Malcolm can do these awesome solos, and even just the Love Song intro is another example of great playing by Malcolm, why does he not do it more often? Why? It is an interesting thing, concept. The fact that Malcolm is a better guitarist than Angus. Two reasons for that. One, Angus said it himself. And two, Malcolm taught Angus. So Malcolm is as good as or better than Angus. Why does Malcolm choose to stand in the background playing, you know, an example would be down 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 over and over again. I actually love that riff, but that's not the point. You know, why does he choose to stand there and play the most repetitive riffs over and over again while Angus does the crazy solos when Malcolm can do them too? Malcolm writes, I think Malcolm has a lot more input than Angus into writing the songs. He's did the production before on the albums. He's clearly great at this, you know. It's his band, not Angus's. Malcolm has all the, he knows what they want. He decides where they tour, what they do. He's the boss. He decides, is this album ready to be released? Are the solos ready? You know, he could talk to Angus. He doesn't, because Angus has said in the Flick of the Switch booklet, you know, when they produced that album themselves, he said, well, we'd sort of always produced it ourselves anyway, because the producer would say, yes, Angus, that's a great solo, and Angus would say, well, what does Malcolm think? It's up to him whether we leave early or stay here all night redoing it. You know, Malcolm knows what to do. Why does he choose to let Angus take all of the spotlight, all of the media attention, be on all of the merchandise, run around all over the stage commanding it, while he stands in the background and plays, you know, repetitive riffs over and over again? Occasionally he has some interesting riffs, because obviously he can do them. It's strange, and the reason is because Malcolm formed a band that he wanted to be a return to the days of the old rock and roll icons like Chuck Berry. He wanted a return to the time when they would just play very simple rock and roll. That's why Dave Evans was fired as the singer. He was too glam-like. And in the late 73, early 74, they did go through a slight glam era, and then Malcolm hit the brakes, fired a whole bunch of drummers and bassists, fired the singer, and tried to move back to a basic rock and roll style. That's why the bassist doesn't really do anything terribly noticeable in any of their songs. That's why when they had Chris Slade doing crazy drums in the early 90s, they got rid of him and brought very simplistic drummer Phil Rudd back, because they wanted this simple style. You know, Malcolm can do these crazy solos, and then he cut away from that and decided to do simple riffs. It's like, when they start to get things that are maybe different, you know, The Razor's Edge was a very sort of tuneful, very different sound. It wasn't your typical rock and roll sound. And straight after that, bam, Ball Breaker, every song sounds like your typical sort of newer style rock and roll. It's like every time they start to make slight changes, they put the brakes on, and Malcolm insists on sort of going back to this very basic, very simple rock and roll style, which has worked for them, and which I love, and it's awesome. But it's just an interesting concept, I think, you know, of how Malcolm lets Angus take all the attention. I mean, I heard about a song, it may have been the Old Bay Road, but a song that Malcolm wrote, and it was credited to Malcolm and Angus, even though Angus had no input in it. You know, many of the early songs on the High Voltage were, or a couple of the earlier songs that Malcolm would write with Dave Evans, were Bon came in, added new lyrics to them, you know, such as Love Song and Soul Stripper. Bon came in, added in new lyrics, and the final version of the song was credited to Malcolm, Bon, and Angus. Interesting that. Now, I don't even know if we're recording at this point. Yeah, I think we're still recording? Okay. Computer froze there. So, that is an interesting debate. But anyway, as always, Show Business is an awesome song, and AC/DC are just awesome in general. Now, let's move on to The Dying Days, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Fox McFoxerson, What Time Is It? Yes, indeed, it's time for... Oh, I'm going to miss-send this. Mussolini Corner. Mussolini Corner. Mussolini Corner. Hit the music. Welcome, everyone, as the Dean and... present Mussolini Corner. Okay, Foxy, what's up on this week's Mussolini Corner? Indeed. Here we go with Mussolini Corner. This week's topic is the visit to Germany. Okay, now, you may recall that I mentioned the possibility of making this segment and the Nile of the Week alternating segment, but you know what, since there's only two left after this week, there's not much point. We'll just let this segment run done. So, the visit to Germany, very short, very interesting. Mussolini, who was trying to make Italy great, respected, and feared, you know, a return to the Roman Empire. He pictured himself like Caesar, you know, and he was in much of his propaganda. This was trying to make Italy a superpower, you know, incredibly important. And when he went over to visit Germany, you know, he said, like, well, that is one of the greatest countries I've ever seen. You know, and it's like, wait, what about Italy? You're supposed to be making Italy the greatest country you've ever seen. You're not be like, oh, wow, your country is so awesome compared to ours. I love how you've risen back from the results of the war, the First World War, and you've made your huge comeback to be a huge superpower again. You're so awesome, Germany. You know, Mussolini, you fail so much. And that's your Mussolini Corner. Up next, it's time for me to talk about some things and some stuff. Right, what have I been doing? I have been listening to music, but it's the same stuff. It's your AC/DC. I talked about the new album I got. I haven't been listening to anything else terribly interesting. Wait. Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry, listening to the live version from 2006, live version of My Ding-a-Ling. This verse was in it, and this disturbed even the Dean. I remember the girl next door. We'd play house on the kitchen floor. She'd be the queen and I'd be the king, and together we'd play with my ding-a-ling. I mean, those are clearly small children there. That is disturbing. And also lol-worthy. Chuck Berry. Oh. Legend. Now then. I have been reading some stuff. I've started reading a book called Nada. It's a Spanish book, and it's a bit crap. I've also been reading some more of my social psychology book. Some interesting stuff. I'm going to open it and see what I've been reading most recently, and we'll see if there's anything interesting to discuss. Possibly not, but we'll see. So I'm going to open that. I'm not going to do it myself. Fox McFoxerson, if you would just pass over the book there, that would be nice of you to do so. Thank you very much. Bookmark is here. Okay, let's read from my bookmark first. It's probably more interesting than the book. Your word is a lamp that gives light wherever I walk. Psalms 119:109. On the back, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, John 8:12. What the hell is this? Nevertheless, let's see if there's anything interesting in the book. Evidently nothing terribly exciting is in the book. Stuff about let's see. Anger, pity. Interesting things. Doesn't seem like there's anything to really talk about, to be honest. Pity, you need help. It seems like, depending on how we look at things, if we think the issue was controllable and something bad happens, we may be angry towards the person, but if something bad happens that wasn't controllable, we could show sympathy towards the person. Okay. Something about fat people. Stability is an issue that is important. Expectations for the future. When do we gamble? On the future. Internal and external attributions. Locus of cause. And that's enough of that. Evidently, this is uninteresting on the show. Now then. Up next, I am, you know what, in fact? No, we're not gonna. I was gonna just read a passage from the book, but I won't. In fact, you probably wouldn't like me to read a passage from the book. So I'm going to read a passage from the book. Pity, you need help. Here we go. Oh, by the way, to give correct credits, Brewer and Crano, Social Psychology. If we get angry when we attribute negative outcomes to controllable causes, how do we respond to others when we perceive negative events to be uncontrollable? You know what, I think I've done this bit. I'm going to skip ahead. We're going to do manipulating attributions, strategies for social interaction, because that's new to me too. Since casual attributions influence our emotional and behavioral responses to other people, it seems reasonable that we should be concerned with how others interpret our own actions and their outcomes. One way in which we try to control the attributions that others make is the excuses we give when things don't go well. Wiener and his colleagues asked college students to report on experiences in which they had broken some sort of social contract, for example, failed to keep a date, and to indicate the reasons they had given for the failure, whether true or false, along with actual reasons that they had not given. So that's like, why were you not here? It's like, well, alien spaceships. And then the real reason is like, I was fapping. I don't know. Now then, excuses that were given tended to refer to external or uncontrollable factors, transportation problems, illness, and other commitments. Withheld explanations were primarily internal and controllable. I didn't want to go. Respondents also rated such explanations as being likely to evoke anger compared with the explanations actually given. Even young children display sensitivity to the emotional reactions evoked by causal explanations. Wiener and Handel asked children ages 5 through 12 to rate the reasons given for each of two social situations: refusing to play with someone and failing to show up at a planned meeting. Children at all ages recognized that controllable attributions would lead to anger and that internal attributions would lead to hurt feelings, and reported that they would be likely to withhold such reasons in giving excuses for the behavior. Excuses are a direct method of attempting to control others' causal attributions, but sometimes our attributional strategies are more indirect. Jones has been interested in studying the strategies people employ to manipulate the perception of their competence and ability, stable internal attributions. In attempting to make it... You know what, I'm bored now. But that's that. So, moving on. Apparently, in the school place, I am some sort of prefect at this time. My badge is on my wallet for FBI-style... flicking wallet action. Now then, at one point I had lost my badge, but Evan was wearing it as double prefect. Now then, it's time for the ECW review. This show is too largo. Okay, let's go. Fox, hit the music. Okay, the ECW review. ECW is only an hour long, so not a lot happens. This week we also get a WrestleMania replay thing, so less will happen. So we're going to get about 20 minutes of wrestling on the show, at most, for the ARG. Shelton versus Ryder. Ryder has one leg with the long tights, one leg with short, I don't understand. WTF, short match, pay dirt, Benjamin, over. Now Tony Atlas out. This guy still exists? Why is he still here? He introduces the Abraham Washington show. Why is this guy still here? Tony's job is now to chuckle annoyingly and inappropriately. Abraham Washington talks about some guy I've never heard of, and talks about Cleveland, Ohio. Then we get the yes. Out comes Gregory Helms in regular form, and he says he does not equal the Hurricane. He has a hurt neck and is unable to wrestle, so is an interviewer. Tony keeps laughing. The Bertros come out. Tony says Katie Lee is hot. He's not wrong. Yes, the Hurricane on the Titanstron. He's up on a ledge somewhere, fighting crime in Gotham City, I think he said. But we'll wrestle Paul Burchill next week. Same Hera time, same Hera channel. And Tony keeps laughing. I love this. This Hurricane Gregory Helms gimmick is awesome. The Abraham Washington show gets the ARG! Now Regal out with Zeke and Kozlov. Those two guys nearly kill some jobbers, and then Regal applies the Regal stretch in the post-match beatdown, which prompts Christian to come out for the save. He can't do it alone, he needs some help. Out comes Tommy Dreamer! Oh yeah. Dreamer pulls some taped Singapore canes out of the back of his t-shirts. T-shirt gives one to Christian, and the two of them go down, and they pretty much cane the hell out of Zeke and Kozlov for the huzzah! And in the main event, Sheamus versus Goldust, no DQ, not Extreme Rules, don't know why, ARG. I love that Goldie is in the main event, though. You pull a chick, take her home, no use, man, you're worn out to the bone. It's a line from Show Business. Goldust not faring so well. Inside cradle, two count. Why are there no weapons in a no disqualification match on Extreme Championship Wrestling? Sigh, ARG. And then Sheamus randomly wins for the... Goldust should have won. That's your ECW. What are your thoughts, Fox McFoxerson? Indeed, indeed. And while we're on the topic, Well, we're not really, but segue. What are your thoughts on? In fact, you know what? No, Fox McFoxerson. I like you, and I think you could work as a new permanent co-host, because I'm really getting fed up with these people not working. We need a new permanent co-host, and I'm announcing it right now. This week, or at the latest next week, we will have a permanent co-host announced. I'm thinking it's going to be you. So, I need you to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up on the Dean Show through the agency. Because you are, of course, a manservant, and you applied for the job and were not in any way kidnapped and are not a slave. Indeed. Indeed. An interesting tale. Now then. Now that we don't actually care about you, because I am the Dean, you go make me some more tea, bring up some biscuits, and I'll move on to the next thing to discuss on the Dean Show, and that happens to be the Nile of the Week. Before you go, hit the music. Nile of the Week. Nile of the Week. Nile, 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 Nile of the Week. Fool at the other end, Nile of the Week. Fool at the other end. Okay, that like the new music there? This week's Nile of the Week and Fool at the other end is, well, I'm going to tell you a tale. I was working in the shop I often work in an attempt to pay our manservant, Fox McFoxerson, and whilst I was there, some children came in, and they were like, do you have any of the crisps? And I was like, yes, there are crisps here. And they're like, well, do you have any of the large, extremely large crisps? And I assumed they meant the very large packets with the 12 packets inside, you know, the multi-packs. So I was like, over there. And they're like, then they picked up a small packet of crisps and were like, ha ha ha, and took them away. And they're like, thumbs up, thank you. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with you children? Are you trying to make a fool, a Nile of the Week out of the Dean? This, what is this? So you've probably guessed that this week's Nile of the Week and Fool at the other end is those children. Those children are both the Nile of the Week, because they were fools to try to make a fool out of the Dean. It didn't work. And they're lucky that the Nile of the Week came before the smiting list, otherwise I may have had to smite them. Now it's time to talk about this thing. I went to a wrestling show, American Wrestling Rampage, M-A-W-R show, on Monday night there. Saw some matches and some stuff. Can't really remember the matches in order or anything, but I do recall there were some wrestlers you may know. The Rob Van Dam, the Sabu, the X-Pac, the Rene Dupree, and the Scotty Too Hotty. And with the exception of Rene Dupree, I got autographs from those men, and I got a photo for free with X-Pac before the show, and after the show at the session, I got a photo for £5 with Sabu. Couldn't afford one with RVD, because I ran out of my money. I didn't bring enough money with me. But that's that. It was a show. It was pretty good. It was the American Wrestling Rampage, and it had some wrestlers. The main event was, there were two, RVD and Sabu was the last match. Before that was X-Pac and Rene Dupree, and X-Pac got himself disqualified and didn't win the title. Main event, RVD and Sabu, extreme rules, and they were supposed to go through a table at the end. Sabu going for the Arabian face crusher thing on the table with the chair. RVD rolls off. Sabu was supposed to land and put himself through the table. Because he's old and broken and should have retired a long time ago, he missed and sort of knocked the table over and just fell. But that's that. So that's your American Wrestling Rampage discussion there. And yeah. What have I been watching? New Tricks, that's a good show. The Fixer. And I'm thinking any movies I've watched that I need to discuss. I probably watched another Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Did I talk about Inferno last time? I did. Maybe I haven't watched one since then. Maybe I didn't talk about Inferno. It was good. Watch it. No Seagal movies. You know, I don't think I've watched any movies. So I think that's it. Which means we can get straight on to what I've played, which is, of course, more Fallout 3. You're getting tired of this, and I don't care, but I'm going to get it real quick. What I've been doing in Fallout 3, I have been... I'm going to talk about one incident specifically. Walking along... I've just been trying to discover locations, really, but walking along... Oh, look, it's some mutants in the distance. No problem, I can kill them. And as I'm killing them, helicopters land. The Enclave have arrived. No problem. I'm going to let them run away and hide and let them kill each other. And they all kill each other, and I come in and kill the last couple, and it's all good. And then somehow I find myself trapped between two super mutant overlords that had somehow arrived. Overlords trapping me. Both with tri-beam lasers. So I bump the difficulty down from very hard to very easy. Check out the Dismemberer, which is an axe. And, like an axe man of some sort, killed them both. Now then, let's see, I think that's all I really want to get at there. So, Fox McFoxerson, which segment is up next? Indeed, it is the smiting list. But we don't have anyone to smite at the moment. Recently, I've just been smiting my co-hosts because they're all crap, but you seem to have been less crap. So, we're not going to smite you. We're going to put off the smiting list, and I'm just going to gibber on about nothing for a few minutes, okay, whilst you think of someone we can smite. So, let's see. You know what? Let's put the plugs in here. That's something we can do. Don't forget to go to thethedeanshow.blogspot.com. That's where you can find all the stuff about The Dean Show. Everything that relates to The Dean Show is there. Make sure you are subscribed on iTunes, listen to every episode, tell a friend, things like this. Buy our merch, click on our ads, and whatever. Leave us a review, anything you want. Make sure you do thaddeuspenguin@hotmail.com if you want to talk about anything relating to the show, any feedback whatsoever, and do enter our quiz this week, please. Win that prize. Also, when you're on the blog, do take the poll, because I've said it before and I'm saying it again! Whichever show loses is gone forever. The Dean Show and The Banter Show. The Banter Show is winning, so, you know, be careful there, people. Be careful there. Now, yeah. And now, we present The Dean and... present to you the smiting list. Prepare to be smitten. Okay, this week we're going to smite chemistry. I don't think we did this already. Maybe we did. Doesn't matter. It's getting smitten now. Chemistry's getting smitten for being, one, such a crap subject, and two, because I didn't do well in it. I got a C. And now I had to do Spanish instead. So, chemistry gets smitten. Let's go. Let's fire our lasers. Fox McFoxerson, help me out. I'm going to charge him my lasers, and charge him my smitometers, fire my lasers, and things like this. Go! What? No, what place is this? How could this happen? Somehow the laser backfired and smoked Fox McFoxerson. No, I was hoping he would be my new permanent co-host. But evidently that is not going to happen because he has accidentally been smitten. Of course, there is a way to unsmite people, but only Thaddeus knows that. Well, looks like we're going to have to find a new co-host. And he was promising to. This is upsetting me. Upset. Now then, that's the smiting list, I suppose. So, we do have a new segment for you. It's called The Dean's Journal. Okay, so let's do that. The Dean's Journal. What's the Dean been up to? The Dean's Journal. Journal of the Dean. what's he been doing throughout the week? You get to hear what the Dean has been doing live, just as it actually happens. The Dean's Journal.
Today we read from Connecté. Poster of the week, les ordinateurs, une disquette, le clavier, un ordinateur, l'imprimante, les touches, un CD-ROM.
Hey, that is clearly une CD-ROM.
Le moniteur, la souris, l'écran, internet, le courrier électronique, un email, un mail, un message électronique, internet, un site web. Oh, le son, l'enceinte, les écouteurs, le microphone, l'enregistreur digital, sur le clavier, la touche de majuscule, la touche B fonction, la touche options, la touche de retour, le clavier numérique et la barre d'escapement. That is all. Hello, we now interview a random person. Speak.
I can't do this.
That was an exchange of questions because I have none.
Can we just talk about something?
He is laugh.
Can we not just talk about something?
No! Requests for a dressing room were denied.
You bring me the tea.
What do I call a coffee?
Scum.
There is no coffee.
Gin and tonic.
Whiskey.
Is this a turn in the game now?
I want a whiskey!
I'll go get you a whiskey then.
Huzzah!
Where am I going?
There is no whiskey in the ICT room. Unless... check the cupboard behind the desk. We are awaiting the whiskey.
You know you're just going to get some yellow water.
Who knows?
And you know where yellow water comes from?
Yes. He has a claw. He is not bringing the whiskey, but he has a claw. He is attacking people with the claw. We will end the recording to avoid being sued for the injuries caused with the claw. Okay, now we attempt to go to the internet in the school IT classroom. Opening the homepage, whsict.net/internet. Blocked! Internet access is blocked because the active default profile is operating a closed system. Sensornet professional. Access denied.
You have to think of this year's assignment.
Interview with Mrs. Hunter.
Goodbye, Dean. See you later.
Denied. We are here in the Wallace High School, the natural habitat of the woodlice. I speak with the woodlice. It makes no sound. Connor may not be getting the recorder back because I'm going home.
Hello.
Standovich!
That was Jack.
Hello.
He is silly today. Okay. This is the part where I leave school early with Connor's recorder, having not returned it to him. Mwah ha 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 ha. Okay, this is the Dean recording a little message on the way home from the school establishment upon my attempting to return to the temple of the Dean. Now, at the moment, I'm not using the teleportation system because teleporters are offline. Least cargo bay ever. So I'm walking. Evidently that's what the kids do there, moving the feet in an attempt to walk. I see nothing especially interesting because I'm in a street with nothing in it except for houses and the Dean. I am walking continuously past some houses, and I shall soon be entering the area whereby the trillion acres temple begins and I'll use the super fast crazy zip speed thing fast device to bring me straight from the get several trillion acres away to where the door is. That in a few moments. But first, there is a large person wearing a coat approaching, so I will stop the recording. Okay, it appears the large person wearing a coat was in fact a large person wearing a coat, and thus nothing to worry about. I am about to get in the zipper device here, so that's okay. I'll pause and we'll be right back when I have reached the door of the temple. Okay, I have returned. I am in the temple of the Dean as we speak. And I am, let's see, I would like to have some sort of tea and some biscuits, okay? So, that needs to be arranged. So, if Fox McFoxerson, the new manservant, the new co-host on The Dean Show, if he could just get the tea on a little tray with some biscuits, that would be pleasant and also not unpleasant. And good. And nice. So if that could happen, that would be bueno and also not unbueno. Now I'm going to go and sit down and do some reading in the very expensive library we have made here in the temple. So I'm going to leave you for now. This has been Walking Home with the Dean. Until next time, the Dean walks better than you. Good hello. Good evening, random person. You're on the Dean Show. How do you feel, woman?
I don't really want to be on the show.
That's because you're broken and have no soul. Good day. Okay, quick emergency recording. Just, discovered this thing called the Microsoft Office Word 2007, having upgraded from the 2003 trace. So first of all, first thing I did, I opened this Word, noticed the layout was broken. Not really sure what's going on. I used to have my nice, simple little menu along the top to operate from. Now I have about a 2-inch thick menu on the top with a ridiculous amount of sort of sub-menus. For your information, I hate menus, I hate taskbars, I hate sidebars, and I hate anything that takes up any of my screen ever. So this is not pleasing for me. Now, let's go along. We've got a button. I didn't realize it was a button at first, because it's just a sort of distorted Windows logo. It's the Office button, and that's where your file, like, you basically, that's your file button. But you didn't know that. To the right, there's a Save, Undo, and Redo little button sort of hiding up there. And then there are these little menu buttons. This time are Home. Now, these aren't, like, these are tabs. Home, Insert, Page Layout, References, Mailings, Review, and View. These are tabs. And they bring me to different sort of screens within Word. I don't want different screens within Word. I was happy enough with one screen. Now we have a ridiculously huge paste button. Not sure why it needs to be so big. Probably knowing that everyone just copies and pastes from Wikipedia, and that's the main use of Word in the home. And now we've got bars and buttons for paragraph, font, clipboard, styles, and editing mini bar toolbar things, and I hate it quite a lot. So this new version of Word with its, let's see, it has Gil Sans, which is nice, but this font bar, now this button, oh wait, no. Now this pops out into little menus, so essentially this is replacing right click and the toolbars that drop down and the menu and everything into one inconvenient, very annoying, space-unsaving mess. Word 2007. That is all. Hello, hello, random person. What are your thoughts on being on the Dean Show and also the rain outside? Go!
Alright.
No, alright is not a response. Please try again.
Alright.
How dare you say alright to the Dean? Answer the question asked.
Privet.
Since this makes none. Breakfast with the Dean. It is the Dean's breakfast. Okay, so I'm eating some breakfast here. It appears to be porridge, which has been microwaved for slightly too long. I have a device that shoots microwaves at food. We also have some goji berries in there, if you like the goji berries. And, of course, a cup of tea. Good times. This has been Breakfast with the Dean. Until next time, GTFO!
Okay, that was the Dean's Journal. Up next on the Dean Show, it is The Dean Sings. Hit the music, the Dean.
This is the jingle to introduce the jingle. This is the jingle that introduces the segment that we like to call The Dean Sings. The Dean Sings uses songs from promotingcrap.com.
This week's subject, the Dean Show. The Dean Show. The Dean Show. Oh, oh, it's the Dean Show. The Dean Show. The Dean Show. The Dean Show. Oh, oh, the Dean Show. Every week, the Dean Show. Get to listen what the Dean has to say. Talk about things, talk about stuff. He calls you scum, but you listen anyway. The Dean Show every week. Review the week's wrestling. Oh, review the week's wrestling. It's usually bad, full of the arc. Oh, Mussolini corner, foo, foo. Mussolini is such a fool. Lol at Mussolini in his corner. A message from our new sponsor. Will it be Dracula's home cooking? Or will you be breathing the asbestos in? Will it be Joe's Albino Pet Shop Supplies? Or an Indian lady trying to kill the Dean? The smiting list where we fire a big laser at people to be smitten. Nile of the Week where we name that fool at the other end. Oh, talk about random. Games and songs. It's the Dean Show.
The Dean Show.
With a random animal co-host. The Dean Show. Random animal co-host every week. The Dean Show. The Dean Chanary. Chikara Wrestler of the Week. Lots of stuff on the Dean Show. What will happen next on the Dean Show? The Dean does not know. The Dean Show every week. What will happen on the show? No one knows. Even the Dean and his co-host don't know. Oh, 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 oh. What will happen? What will happen? What can happen on the Dean Show? Good evening, and welcome back to part 2 of the Dean Show, episode 29. Don't forget, next week is our 30th episode anniversary. Be there, or be triangular prismal, if that makes sense. Triangularly prismal. Do it! Now then, we do have the SmackDown review, plus the Dean Shinery, and the Chikara Wrestler of the Week, also, which I forgot to do yesterday, awaiting you on this week's show. Just remember, before we get into SmackDown, before we get to that, I need to introduce my new manservant, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna give him a shot. It's Monkey McMonkeyerson. Huzzah! Now then, let's get straight into SmackDown. Hit the music, Monkey McMonkeyerson. SmackDown! Lay the SmackDown! It's a SmackDown! And Friday Night SmackDown with the wrestling and the people and the things. SmackDown! Yeah! Okay, the SmackDown review is as follows. CM Punk out, dressed as Jeff Hardy with the face paint and whatnot. He says there will be no more ridiculous face paint, no more stupid armbands because Jeff Hardy is gone. And one girl in the crowd looks very, very outraged at this, and there was a boy with silly hair who looks very unamused. Punk says he won't miss a show because of an incident in an airport or miss WrestleMania for failing a drug test. I like this. I like this a lot, and I'm glad Jeff Hardy is gone, and then Matt out for the brawl. Then we skip a match, because it was not very good. Skip a match, TMPO. John Morrison out versus Ray for the IC title, and you know this is going to be an awesome match. Monkey McMonkeyerson, what were your thoughts going into this match? Indeed. I was expecting a great match, and it delivered. Morrison, Monkey flips Ray, holds onto his hands, and then rolls through into a pin. Some nice wrestling in the match. Ray head scissors Morrison to the outside. Ray has Morrison's hands behind his back. Morrison does a front flip and double kicks Ray on the head. Standing star press. Ray slingshots into the ring. Lands in a head scissors position. Hits the head scissors. Morrison lands on the ropes. Ray goes for the 619, but Morrison gets up. Double cross bodies. And then later, Ray jumps feet first, holding onto the ropes. Jumps feet first through the ropes, lands, and then head scissors Morrison on the outside. Morrison kicks out of Ray's springboard leg drop. And let's see. Fast-paced action throughout the whole match. Ray off the top, but gets caught in a drop kick right in the midsection there. Ray escapes the split-legged corkscrew moonsault. Hits the 619. Morrison escapes the splash. Morrison with a springboard kick for the two count. There's a "This is awesome" chant. Indeed! This was an amazing match. Morrison is going up top, going for Starship Pain, as they call it, the split-legged corkscrew moonsault, but Ray stands up and pushes him back, so Morrison's on the corner. Ray goes for a reverse Hurricane Rana, a reverse Super Hurricane Rana, or reverse Frankensteiner, if you will. Morrison holds on, Ray lands hard, split-legged corkscrew moonsault from the second rope. Morrison wins the Intercontinental Championship on its around its 30th anniversary. Huzzah! Everyone chant it with me.
Morrison! 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 Morrison!
And like that. It was an awesome 5-star match. Now R-Truth out to get attacked by Drew McIntyre, and now the main event, Matt Hardy versus CM Punk. I think there's a diva match in there maybe somewhere. I skipped it. I only cover the things that are important enough to be covered by the Dean. So we have JR says, "I didn't pass, I just outbreathed the dead." What? What? Oh, I don't even know what he was talking about. What? In Terabang. Now we get the, next thing I wrote down was that I was bored and not concentrating on the match. Then Punk hits a roundhouse kick. Matt Hardy barely kicks out. Punk with a springboard, going for the forearm or something, but gets caught in a side effect. Then Punk uses a chair. Not sure what happened to the match at this point. I didn't hear a bell for the DQ, but whatever. Puts the chair around Matt's neck, and he's going to throw him into the ring post and try to break his neck or something. Lights out, gong, Undertaker appears, chokeslams Punk through the commentation table area, and that's your SmackDown. Okay, there were no ARGs during that SmackDown, apparently. But I suppose the silly Diva match, and there was a random tag match I skipped, those were a bit crap and deserve to get some sort of ARG! And like that. Okay, it is now time for the segment we forgot to do yesterday, the Jakara Wrestler of the Week. I think we might end this segment soon, because I'm sort of running out of cool gimmicky wrestlers to do. Yeah, so here it is, hit the music, Monkey McMonkeyerson. The Jakara Wrestler of the Week. Okay, we're gonna do Cheech and Cloudy. They seemed a while ago that they were probably one of the most dominant, you know, one of the most featured tag teams in Jakara at one point. They personified Jakara tag team action, and then they sort of faded away a bit. And then they tried to change their gimmicks a little bit. Now they're more of a surfer type of thing. KC Cloudy Day and Cheech Hernandez. Most people still call them Cheech and Cloudy. And their moves are the Partly Cloudy with a Chance of Cheech. Cheech, of course, everyone's favorite type of weather. It's where one of them does a 619 whilst the other does like just a sort of drop kick while they're in that position. Or jumps on them or something, I can't remember. They also do a move, think where they go one of they're on the after that they usually follow that up with on the top rope one of them has them in a powerbomb position and then he does a powerbomb onto the knee but the second one does like an enziguri I think on him from the powerbomb position off the top rope or something of that nature. I need to see some more Jakara. I haven't seen any for a while and getting off of this and don't remember much of it, but that's how that goes. And that's Cheech and Cloudy. They have there's another move they do, I forget, it doesn't matter. That's your Cheech and Cloudy, your Jakara Wrestlers of the Week. We're choosing a tag team, of course, this week. And what are your thoughts on that, Monkey McMonkeyerson? Haha! Smitten! Simply because you're being very annoying. With a very annoying accent there, or on your words. So, we're going to wrap it up with the Dean Shonery, and that's your show for this week. So, the Dean Shonery. This week's word in the Dean Shonery is scum! I.e., all of you listeners who are inferior scum to the awesome, mighty superiority of the Dean. Now then, don't forget to come back next week, Children of the Dean, for episode 30 of The Dean Show, and check out thedeanshow.blogspot.com, and while you're on there, we have links to Wiggly's World, Connor Robinson website, Connor-Robinson.co.uk, and other podcasts such as Thoughts Out of Context, the Double H News Hour, and The Sanjay Show. Do check those out, and don't forget to enter our contest, ThaddeusPenguin.com, name three bands whose music we have closed the show with, and we are going to close the show this week with... Let me think, what are we going to close with? Kelly Ritchie's No More Lies. This is the song from the CD you will be getting if you win. Courtesy of Ariel Publicity. Goodbye. Let's start.
Late.